You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, as always, Tim Link. Really pleased to be here today. We've got an exciting show again today. So I want to thank everybody for joining us. My guest today is award-winning journalist and author John Zeman. And John's here to talk to us about his recently released book, Dog Walks Man, A Six-Legged Odyssey. Really great book. It's humorous, it's thoughtful, it's an absorbing narrative, and it deals sort of with everything with dogs, but also we're talking about a metaphysical joys of just the simple task of walking your dog. And I think people sometimes often feel that walking the dog is a little bit of a chore, so we're going to teach them maybe a little bit about how to actually enjoy it and actually tap into your inner consciousness there. So it's going to be really cool. So we look forward to talking to John. Before we get started, I always like to leave you some helpful hints, tidbits, things in the news, things I think they're interesting, and hopefully you'll find them interesting as well. And today I'd like to talk to you about Remind My Pet Service. Remind My Pet Service. Now, this is a great little service that has started. If you're like me, sometimes it's difficult to remember everything that you need to do in a given day. For me, if it's not written down somewhere or if it's not posted on a sticky note, I'll never remember it. So if you've ever found yourself in a difficult to remember situation when it's time to give your pet his or her next dose of medication, that's where Remind My Pet will come into play. It's a great solution, great service. Give you a little bit of detail about it. There's a website where you can register your pet's medication requirements, and Remind My Pet will send you a text or email reminder the day it is due. So once you're registered, you don't have to remember anything else. They contact you to give you a reminder, and you can get your Fluffy or your Spot all squared away. So you can now, save a tree, save some sticky notes, have someone else do all the work. So the service is called Remind My Pet. For more information about Remind My Pet service, you can go to my blog, the Animal Rights blog on Pet Life Radio, petliferadio.com. Click on the link to the website, to the blog. And while you're at it, remember to request your free emergency Save My Pet stickers from Remind My Pet as well. So they'll give you some freebies, and you can post those on all your windows and doors to make sure that you keep your pet nice and safe in case of emergency. So that's my little helpful hint for today. It's Remind My Pet. Go to the Animal Rights blog on Pet Life Radio. It's PetLifeRadio.com. Click on Animal Rights and read a little bit more about it and find out about how you can sign up for this free, wonderful service. So we're going to go into a little bit of commercial break, but everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back with John Zeman to talk to us about his book, Dog Walks Man, A Six-Legged Odyssey. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
We really love pets. There isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
"So how do you feel about cat condos?"
we can say from experience,
"Feels like home for her."
Enter the code LUCKY10, LUCKY, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at petco.com.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to florop.com and use the code LUCKYS20 at checkout. FLEUROP.com. Code word LUCKYS and the number 20.
Would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience?
We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds.
InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service.
We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit PetLifeRadio.com. Click on sponsorship information.
There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed or email us at
PetLifeRadio.com.
Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Got questions about your hound's health? Need the facts on Fido's fitness or food? You want to unleash your pup's potential? Well, you've come to the right place with Win with Dogs. Here, we learn how easy it is to naturally improve the lives of our furry friends. So sit, stay, and get ready to win with dogs. With me, Raquel Wynn. Exercise, nutrition, interaction, and love make for one healthy, happy hound. Give yourself the gift of knowledge, on demand, every week, right here at Pet Life Radio with me, Raquel Wynn, and Win with Dogs.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Thanks for joining me today. We've got an exciting guest with a great new book out. Joining me today is award-winning journalist and author John Zeman. And John has recently released his book, Dog Walks Man, A Six-Legged Odyssey. So, John, welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Thanks, Tim. Glad to be here.
Oh, we're glad to have you. Now, this is an exciting new book. I love the perspective because we're not only talking about our wonderful dogs and we're talking about the benefits and everything about walking your dog and what you should do, but also a little bit about the joys behind it and some of the things that you should really take advantage of when you're out walking the dog. So tell us a little bit about the book and how you came about to write it.
I began walking my dogs about 20 years ago. And I was, at the time, I was a new father and new also to the suburbs, having moved to a suburb of New York City from the city and a very different kind of neighborhood. We'd lived in a loft, a former zipper factory, actually, and had moved to a suburb for the kids, and they wanted a dog. And so, after trying out a succession of smaller, easier to care for, it seemed to us at the time, pets.
even never
having very having very small pets can be more traumatic, given that you know so many of them seem to meet terrible ends. The gerbils would eat their babies and so on. So finally, we decided we needed a real pet that was sort of on the same scale, lived in on the same level that we did. And we got a dog, a standard poodle. And in the beginning, everybody was expected to share in the care of the animal. I think that's a very typical thing that families start out with those kinds of intentions.
That's right. Kids, if we get you a dog, you're going to take care of it, right? Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, so all the kids are wanting, and they did do. They would help to feed it, and they would take it out on walks. But once the novelty wears off, and kids nowadays are very busy, they have these very scheduled lives, and I became, by default, the family dog walker. And it started a series of discoveries where totally unexpectedly this activity became a bigger and bigger part of my life. I wasn't a retired person with nothing else to do. I had and have a very rewarding job as an art critic, and I get to go to museums in the day and look at paintings and write about that. So I had outside interests, so to speak, but nevertheless, this seeming task or chore sort of crept up on me as something in a kind of a sneaky way. It became more and more interesting, and in the beginning, I think it's more like a kind. What the first thing it reminded me of, I guess, is childhood. Because for the first time in a long time, I was regularly going out with no particular purpose, really, or direction. I mean, the purpose was to take the dog and take care of its needs. But beyond that, we could go anywhere or stay out as long as we wanted. And it was that sort of aimlessness, that sense of having unexpected experiences, unplanned things, that reminded me of when I was a kid and you would just go out And when you're with a dog, the dog has a kind of juvenile nature. Dogs are very fun-loving and curious. They're like kids in a way. Mm-hmm. And so that spirit is infectious, and you find yourself getting as excited in a way, not as visibly perhaps, with the dog. When you tell a dog it's going out, they practically turn themselves inside out. And and it's just, but that is, there's something, you know, that communicates to you, and you find yourself, you know, this is going to be something, you know, they're so certain that you're going to have this experience something, an adventure, so to speak. But I think then I began to realize that I was sort of connecting with an ancient relationship that when people formed this partnership with dogs in the very beginning, in prehistory, it wasn't about sitting around in your cave surrounded by all your creature comforts and petting your dog at your side. It was really about going out, and whether it was to hunt and the dog with its superior sense of smell and its hearing added extended the senses of the hunter and finding game and tracking and treeing animals herding domesticated animals or pulling sleds or guarding the home or even fighting. They had jobs, but at the beginning, the basis of all these jobs that dogs used to do was that you went out, you left the den. And that also reflects an instinctive behavior in dogs, that when people observe the behavior of wolves in the wild, they'll go out several times a day just to reconnoiter, not necessarily to go hunting or to look for a mate, but just to walk around their territory, see what happened, what the storm did last night.
Just to sort of be in the moment and get in touch with the world.
Well, it's adaptive to know what's out there and how that environment may have changed and who's been by, which dogs are very good at. So this feeling of connection that the dog and I were doing something that felt right in going out, and then I felt much closer to my dog when I was out than I did in the house. I think because in the house, the dog is so clueless, really, about so many things. A dog can't really, people I think like to imagine that their dog can do all these things with them and watch television and look at the computer and so on. But I think the truth is that they don't. They're not privy to phone conversations, and they have, I don't think, any idea what you're doing when you're talking on the phone.
Or maybe they just don't care.
If you sit and talk on the phone and you get mad and you yell at somebody, as I did once a store clerk about something, and I looked at my dog was under the table because, of course, they don't see anyone else in the room.
That's right.
They figure it's got to be them.
That's right.
So you get out and you put all those electronic devices, hopefully, less nowadays people bring them, but you're leaving a lot behind, and you're leaving your human life, much of it behind as well, and all the concerns that go with that, the things you have to do, your job and the bills, and suddenly you're out in this much more innocent kind of exploratory activity, and in my case, being new, both to the suburbs in general and into my particular neighborhood, I was ready for this exploration. We were and of course you meet people and you see out late at night, you see how many animals live right in your neighborhood that you might not notice, the raccoons and the possums even the foxes or deer, depending on where you live. And all kinds of things begin. You see things, and that, I think, is the most important, and maybe because I'm an art critic, seeing new things and sensitivity to landscapes and made me very receptive to this. But I think it's there for anybody if you want to pay attention. And pretty soon I just found that there were so many things in my life that were tied up with this activity. I was getting most of my exercise from it. I was getting some of my best thinking done. I'd be out in the morning and ideas. Once I got walking and we were out and this sense of being alive and suddenly I would figure out some problem that I'd been working on, something to do with my job or whatever, you step away from your life and you get a perspective on it. And you enter this zone, I guess, this state of mind that you return to. And I began to look for wilder places nearby. You begin to get tired once you've dog walked for a while.
Right.
You want to get somewhere. You want to let your dog free if possible. You don't want to just go around the block over and over again. I remember writing in the book and thinking to myself one time, it's like I'm on a Monopoly board. It can get very tedious if you don't exercise a little imagination and give yourself to that sense of adventure. And so in my case, that's why I guess the book is called An Odyssey, because it was about traveling through a series of what I call fringe places. Places that are every town or wherever you live, there are these little pockets left, fewer and fewer than there were when I was a kid, but all those little places that you sought out when you were a kid, that woods behind the shopping center,
yeah,
the abandoned lot, the place where you could go and build a hut maybe or play war games or make a dam and some little stream, that those kinds of places are the same places you go looking for as a dog walker, because you can let your dog loose there. You're a little outside, just like as a kid, you get away from your parental supervision. You get outside you're alone in this fringy place. And so you go there as a dog walker. You can let your dog go, and that's a much more natural condition for walking. I never really took to the leash. They always say, your dog, you know, all this part. I never got into, this is not the kind of book you can read to find out how to make your dog heal or how to be happier walking together on a leash necessarily.
Yeah, this is more about getting back in touch with the world, the nature around you, and your animal. Get in touch with them as well. Well, John, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, but I want to come back to you and talk to you a little bit about that. But I also want to talk about some of the other books that you've written and how this one may be a little bit different in the process of writing it. So everybody stay tuned. We're with John Zeman talking about his book, Dog Walks Man, A Six-Legged Odyssey. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
There's a movement afoot, ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code LUCKY, L-U-C-K-Y, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. Is the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link. And I'm here with John Zeman today talking about his wonderful book, Dog Walks Man. Now, John, we were talking right before the break about how, you know, with going out with our dog, whether we're talking about walking him on a leash or getting him out and let him run about, you know, it really gives us the opportunity to get back in touch with nature, find all these unique places. Like you had mentioned, when we were children, we found all these wonderful little hiding places that our parents didn't know about, and they sort of made them our own little kingdom. How did your dog come into play with that? I mean, does your dog enjoy finding those little fringe places and helping you locate those places as well?
Well, they can. I think in my case, it was just getting tired of the leash and thinking about it a little bit and being willing to put a little more effort into, you know, well, where could we go? And thinking about, well, there's a woods I know about, and maybe we'd have to put the dog in the car, but that would be better, I think, than what we were doing. And so it was really... it's the dog's enthusiasm for these places, the way they take to them once you find them. But often I think it's human intelligence and the knowledge of a town or a place that you rely on. And in my case, there was a small woods about 7 blocks from my house that only maybe 14 acres, pretty small, not a forest or hardly a woods. But there was enough of a woods that you could feel that you were away, a little bit away from civilization. And we would walk through these trails, and when they created this place and they called it a nature area, they made a more trails than you really needed. But it increased the complexity, the possible paths you could take. And anyway, we traipsed around that place for about 5 years. From there, I discovered there was where I live in New Jersey, we were right at the edge of the northern end of the New Jersey Meadowlands, which enjoys a kind of notorious reputation.
Right, right. you don't want to go digging up things in that area.
Gangsters would, you know, finish off their rivals, and people would dump toxic chemicals, and you know, and there was a lot of that, but not so much where we are, although there had been dumping, and years ago it had been used as a landfill, and then the landfill had been capped, and you know, you've seen those places where they
right.
put a big layer of dirt over, and then you know, it sometimes looks sort of like a mound. Where we were, because it had started out as the Meadowlands are naturally marshy and swampy, it had just, everything had kind of sunk down, I guess. And so what you saw was fields and still some marshy areas. But because of the reputation, nobody in town went near the place. And yet it was kind of huge. We were in a very densely populated area in northern New Jersey. I live a mile or so from the George Washington Bridge, one of the busiest car bridge in the world, I think. And here was this little wilderness, as it turned out to be, that was kind of like the enchanted forest in a story, or the forbidden forest, the place in the fairy tales where you're not supposed to go there. And for 10 years, like everybody else in town, I just kind of ignored it. And but one day I got the idea. I think I heard some kids in motorbikes were in there, and I never realized that it was enough solid ground in there that you could do that. And I got curious, and we crossed over this little stream or canal to get, I had to walk on a plank just like a kid. And then we were in there, and this turned out to be a kind of a paradise for us, because it had been left alone for so long that it had really reverted to a natural, almost kind of primeval place. It was wilder than any nature area I've ever been to, because nobody was managing it. What grew there was just what grew naturally, and nobody was trimming it. Nobody was taking out the fallen trees or doing any of that kind of maintenance work that keeps, or putting chips on and cutting trails or anything like that. When trails were sort of there because people stomped down the reeds And I found that it was possible to get lost in there. And that was a kind of a wonderful feeling in a way, not literally lost in that I thought I wouldn't get out, not
right.
quite knowing exactly where I was. I could hear the hum of the New Jersey Turnpike, but I and my dog was in heaven because the place was filled with animals living wild lives, and he was racing over all these little curvy trails. And dogs, I discovered, love a path or a trail, and that's there's a chapter in my book just about the joy of being on the trail, on a path with your dog, and they're running ahead of you and coming around the bend. And there was a place we used to come to. It was a little pool of kind of like a water hole, we called it. And my dog, because there were, it attracted animals. It would often be a heron or something waiting in there, or, mm-hmm. or an animal or a muskrat, or there was often something there. And my dog would, I'd always be hurrying up trying to catch up to my dog because he would get there too ahead of me, and I'd get there and I'd see just these sort of spreading rings on the water or some rustling in the brush, and I would miss it. And I became very intent on trying to, you know, experiencing this wild place. And it gave me this great feeling of to be out there exploring and seeing, a fox. I remember how astounded I was to just see a fox out
right.
hunting, chasing another animal. And it was just like, you know, I realized that here right by my house are these experiences that people imagine that you have to, you know, travel hundreds of miles to have, or to go way out to Yosemite or something, that I could have this. And nobody in town, it was like an open secret. There it was. Anybody could go there, but people didn't know it. And without a dog, I never would have done that. And one thing led to another. Pretty soon I had a companion who I had told about some of my experiences. And even though he didn't have a dog, he wanted to come just for the exercise and the conversation. And so one thing leads to another, and it all seems to come back to this, what started out as this very simple chore. And my kids grew up. I no longer had the excuse of being the dutiful father, but I had become attached. Had become this essential thing in my life that I had to do. And so as my first dog died, and that's, you know, it was very sad. And as we got to the point where he really didn't want to go out, especially in the winter, and I was the one that needed to go out now. And I can remember trying to coax him, and I got ramps to get him into the car and ways that we could continue to do this activity. We had gotten a second dog by this time, had kind of rejuvenated the older dog for a number of years, but eventually time catches up with dogs much mm-hmm. too fast.
Yeah, unfortunately, it does.
So I have now the second dog that I got when he was alive, and now a third as his companion. So I've gotten used to having two dogs, which really makes it important to kind of get out somewhere where you can get away from the leash, because it's not walking two dogs on a leash.
Keeps both your biceps
another
going,
dog.
Doesn't it?
I've seen neighbors of mine, you know, the father, you know, with the dog entangling the leash around his legs, because people have those expandable leashes now, and they look like they're doing some kind of lasso trick.
Exactly. Now, John, real quick, we got a couple more minutes here, but I want to ask you, you know, you also written a series of children's books, and you have a book on for young adults. How was the process of writing this book different from writing for children and for young adults?
Well, it was much harder in the sense that for the longest time, I wasn't really sure what kind of book this was. And you know, I had read a few dog books, but I didn't really want to read a lot of dog books because I didn't think that my book was like that exactly, because it was more about, it wasn't focused essentially on the dog, but what the world that a dog brought you into and this world that the two of you shared.
Right.
And so it wasn't like the book that really tells the story of a relationship with a dog. And I didn't want to anthropomorphize and try to turn my dog into a person, because what I like about my dogs are those qualities that are different from humans. So I didn't know what kind of book it was. And I found that it had the most in common with books about fishing and people who discover through fishing, who kind of get beyond all the, you know, I'm going to catch the biggest fish or so on. And there's some spiritual, a river runs through it, a kind of a spiritual feeling enters into it.
Exactly.
And it's more about what they see in nature and what they feel out there than how many fish they catch. And it's, you know, it's a kind of a meditative thing. And dog walking is something that happens twice a day. It actually fits a pattern that if you've ever been told by a doctor or somebody or wanted to try a relaxation exercise or to meditate, or they'll tell you half hour in the morning and a half hour in the evening.
Yeah, that's right.
And what do you know? That's the dog.
That's the dog walk. Yeah, exactly. No, I tell people all the time when we talk about going into meditation, a lot of people think that you have to sit there, legs crossed in a lotus position, chanting. But one of the best ways to do it is to go out with your dog, go out for a dog walk, mix it up a little bit, go to those new places. And it really just clears your mind and lets you think of things that it just all becomes clear at that point.
Meditation was always too hard for me, to tell you the truth. The idea that I would have to clear my mind of my thoughts, and I was always sort of chasing my tail when I was trying to meditate. But being out, it's like Western-style meditation, perhaps. But it does make you pay attention, and you do see things.
That's right. That's
great. And I think that's a form of attention, learning how to recenter yourself, and there's a great sense of well-being that you get from it.
Absolutely. And that's what you're going to learn when you read Dog Walks Man. That's why, I think the great thing about the book, it gets you connected with dogs. We always love to hear stories about dogs, but more importantly, it gets you reconnected with the earth, the world around you, and your inner self. The book's available everywhere, but you can also go to johnzeman.com. It's JohnZeman. Or as always, you can go to petliferadio.com, click on the animal rights tab, and we'll lead you to the book as well. So, John, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. It's a great book. Congratulations. I wish you the very best, and keep us posted on all those wonderful journeys and odysseys that you go on.
It never ends. Thanks,
never. Tim. You're welcome. You're welcome. So we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank once again everybody for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I also want to thank John Zeman for coming on board. Pick up a copy of his book, Dog Walks Man. It's a great book, and get back in touch with your dog and the world around you, and as well as your inner self. So thanks to John Zeman for being on the show today. I want to thank all the sponsors and producers for putting on a fabulous show as usual. Now, to find out more about me and other guests that I've interviewed on the Animal Rights Show and stories, you can check it out by visiting my blog, which is Animal Rights, and you can go to Pet Life Radio, petliferadio.com, click on Animal Rights, read the blogs, listen to the shows, listen to the other shows we've recorded, and while you're there, check out all the other hosts and shows. There's a great cavalcade of interesting guests and hosts that we have on Pet Life Radio. You can catch it all at petliferadio.com. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, people that you'd like for me to interview on the show, drop me a line. You can drop me an email at tim@petliferadio.com. It's tim@petliferadio.com. And I'll do my very best to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and get the people you want the most on the show. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life. You can share it on a blog, article, or in a book. And who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.